If you would, open your Bibles, Colossians chapter 3. And then as you're finding it, we need your help this week. This is a special week for us. On Wednesday evening, the Corollaires from Crowley's Ridge College will be here. One of our own, Courtney Wynn, is a member of that group. And others that we know, I know most of those kids that are part of that singing group. And they're going to be with us Wednesday evening. Now, usually on Wednesday evenings at 6 o'clock, we have a meal and one or two will go in together and they'll provide everything for that meal. And Bob heads that up for us. But we've got a big group coming Wednesday. And we need your help. They're going to need to be fed. They're going to make a two-hour trip from Paragould down here. They'll get here at around 6 o'clock. And this meal will be potluck. So bring something. Bring enough for you, your family. Bring a little bit extra, okay? Bring some extra so that we can feed that group of about 25 or so guests that we'll have, and any other guests that might come to be with us at 6 o'clock. Then at 7 o'clock, there'll be no Bible classes Wednesday evening. The Corollaires will be conducting a program for us. So will you put that in your memory? Wednesday, I need to bring something, and I need to bring something enough for me and a little bit more so that we can help feed a great group of young people who will be with us on Wednesday. I have a question for you. What does Christ mean to you? I'm giving you a chance to think about it. What does Christ mean to you? You say, well, Christ has a place in my life. Well, I got news for you. Christ doesn't want a place in your life. You say, well, Christ has a big place in my life. Well, I got a word for you. Christ doesn't want a big place in your life. Christ desires, deserves, and demands preeminence. He desires, deserves, and demands to be your all, to be your everything. With that in mind, read this with me. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. Are you listening? But Christ is all and in all. Is Christ all to you? You know, if he's all to you, there are some things that are true. If Christ is all to you, then you're dead. Look back in verse number 3. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. If Christ is your all, you're dead. I mean, when you went into that liquid tomb, that watery grave of baptism, you bury something that's dead. You're dead. The Apostle Paul, in talking about what he had to say to the Apostle Peter when he had to withstand him to his face because Peter was just wrong in not eating with the Gentiles. He said, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2, verse number 20. If Christ is all, you're dead. If Christ is all, you're risen. Look at verse number 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. You've been raised to a new life. You've been born again. Raised to a new life. When you came up out of that water of baptism, you were raised by the same power that raised Christ. God raised you to a new life. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. You've been raised. You have a new life. In fact, Christ is your life. Look at verse number 4. When Christ, who is our life. Christ doesn't just give life, folks. He didn't just offer life. Without Christ, you have no life, because Christ is our life. He is life. Remember what he said, John 14, 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is our life. I'll tell you something else. If Christ is your all, then your life is hid with Christ in God. Look at verse number 3 again. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, I don't know about you. That is a comforting scripture to me. Think about what it says now. I'm in Christ. Christ is in God. So if the devil wants to get to me, guess who he's got to come through? He's got to come through God and Christ to get to me. Don't tell me I can't live the Christian life. Don't tell me you can't live the Christian life. If Christ is your all, your life is hid. It's hid with Christ in God. You're going to live different. It's going to be different for you. There are three major verbs I want us to focus on in this section of Scripture. The first is found in verse number 1. It's the verb seek. Do you see it? Underscore. Seek. We're going to come back to it. That's the first major verb. Seek. The second major verb is in verse number 2. Set. You see it? Seek. Set. The third major verb is in verse number 5. It's the word mortify in the King James Version. But if we were going to alliterate it, we could use the word slay. To mortify means to put to death. Slay. So there's our three major verbs that if Christ is our all, these things are going to be true for me. These things are going to be true for you. Seek, set, slay. Now let's back up and let's look at them. Number 1, because Christ is our all, we should seek those things which are above. Why? Look at the verse. Look at verse 1. Why? Where is Christ? He's above, right? He's sitting at the right hand of God. We should seek Christ, folks. We should seek Christ. I mean, there are so many things that are asking or wanting us to seek after. The world is saying, oh, seek after this, seek after that, seek after this. Listen, folks, I'm not opposed to pleasure. I'm not opposed to sports. But when it comes down to it, the thing that we seek first in our life is the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Amen? Now, because Christ is our all, we seek Him like the needle on a compass seeks north. We seek Him like a sunflower seeks the sun. Because He is our all, our all, and He is in all. We seek Him. We seek Him. Number two, we set our affections on things above, not on things of the earth. We set our affections. He dominates my affections because he's my all. He's your all. He dominates our affections. Now, the world has a lot of things that it wants us to put our affections in. Move our affections toward. I'm going to say something profound here now. But chapter 3 is preceded by chapter 2. Back up in chapter 2, and the Apostle Paul, as he writes these things to me and to you, he says, now you need to be alert to some things. The world is out to get you. Don't set your affections on things of the earth. Set your affections on things that are above. But look at the list of things he gives us back in chapter 2. Look at verse number 8. He says, first of all, the world has reasonings. The reasonings of the world. Look, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world. The rudiments, the ABCs, the elementary things of the world, and not after Christ. Do you know what that word spoil means? That word spoil means to take captive, to carry away as captive. When a nation would win a victory over another nation or over a city, it said that they would spoil that city. What would they do? They would take its treasures, they would take its people, and they would carry it off. They spoiled the city. Paul says, beware, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Think like the world. You ought to see things the way we do. Come on, David. You ought to see the things we do the way we do. Through philosophy. Through vain deceit. Here's where it's at, man. Here's where it's at. It's in having stuff. It's in having money. It's the way the world. So that's the way the world thinks, and the world wants you to think just like it thinks. When we're to be different, Christ is our all. He doesn't just hold a place in our life. He doesn't just hold an important place in our life. He's our everything. He's our all. So beware. Beware of the reasonings of the world. Look at 13 through 17. Beware of the rituals of the world. The world has rituals. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. And there was a religion in Colossae at that time called Gnosticism. And they worshiped angels. And the worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by fleshly mind, not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increases with the increase of God. We've got the world has rituals. The world has those things, and they ask us to, you know, hey, you know, you need to behave like this. You need to think like we do. You need to reason like we do. You need to be engaged in the things that we're engaged in. Oh, now, don't let any man. Oh, excuse me, that was 16 and 17. I got this all out of order. 16 and 17. This is religions, verses 18 and 19. Move back up. We talked about that, the religions. They worshiped angels. Don't be carried away by that. Look back up in 16 and 17. The rituals. Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the body is of Christ. The world has its rituals. They had their special days. They had their drink offerings. They had their ceremonies and all of those kind of things. And Paul says, hey, don't let any man judge you with respect to that. Christ is your all. He's your all. You don't let any man judge you in those things. Those things are just a shadow of the things to come, and Christ is the body. If you get off over there letting men judge you, well, how come you didn't do this? How come you didn't do that? Or why did you do this? Why did you do that? If you let men judge you and control you that way, you're chasing a shadow. Have you ever seen the ridiculousness of a dog chasing the shadow of a bird on the ground? I mean, what would he do? Could he catch it? And what would he do with it if he caught it? Right? And here we are chasing these shadows when Christ is the real deal, isn't he? Christ is our all. Don't get caught up in the rituals. Don't get caught up in the reasoning of the world. Don't get caught up in the rituals of the world. Don't get caught up in the religions of the world. One more. The regulations of the world. Beginning in verse number 20. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? And the word ordinances means laws. They have laws. Ordinances. Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship. There's an interesting phrase, in will worship. A show. There's a show of wisdom. It's not wisdom, it's not wise at all, but it's a show of wisdom in will worship. It's a show of humility. It's a show in neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Now, I know that's a convoluted sentence, and it's hard to read, and sometimes it might be hard for us to grasp, but folks, just very simply saying, the Apostle Paul is saying, you're not going to be any more righteous by having a list of do's and don'ts. The world has the list. And if we're not careful, we get caught up in the list. Now, he's not saying that there are things we should not do because we're Christians. He's not saying, he's going to take care of that in chapter 3. Mortify these things in your flesh. He's not saying there's not some things we should that we shouldn't be doing because we're Christians. We shouldn't be doing them. And there's some things we should be doing. Put on. He's going to use those phrases in chapter 3. But folks, the world has a list. And it looks like if you just do this list, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do this. I'm not, you know. And we try for 6 weeks not to do the dirty dozen. And we're no closer to Christ at the end of 6 weeks than we were before. It's Christ who is our all, right? See, it's not so much what we do. Yes, it is. It's what we do. But the important thing is why we do it. Have you seen the bumper stickers? Honk if you love Jesus. Well, folks, anybody can honk. Can't they? Anybody can honk. But do you love Jesus? Have you ever known somebody that thought, I'm going to become more religious. I'm going to read my Bible through in a year. Now, folks, you can read your Bible and not love Jesus. Would you agree with that? But, folks, I truly believe you can't love Jesus and not read your Bible. If you love Jesus, you're going to read your Bible. You see, it's why we do it. Why we do these things. And Paul says, hey, don't get caught up. Don't get caught up in these regulations of the world. Seek the things which are above. That's where Christ is at. Seek Christ. Seek Him. He's your all. What's going to be true of you if He's your all? You're going to seek Christ. Set your affections on things above. He's your all. He's your everything. So your affections are not going to be on the things of the earth. Your affections are going to be on the things that are above. If He's your all. If He's your all. And then thirdly, He says, slay. Mortify. Verse number 5, Colossians chapter 3. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. You're going to put some things to death. That's what you're going to do. You're going to slay those things. You're going to put those things to death. Fornication, he mentions, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, all manner of evil, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You're going to put them to death. He's not through. I'll run the list with you. Here, run the list with you a little bit. These are things you're going to put to death. You're going to put to death. You're going to put off, beginning in verse number 8. Look, you're going to put off. But now you also put off these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. You have put these things off. Why? Because Christ is your all. Christ is your everything. You're going to put them to death. You're going to put them off. You're going to put on, verse number 10. You're going to put on something. You're going to put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free. But that pretty well runs the list, doesn't it? The world wants to divide us up by color. The world wants to divide us up by language. The world wants to divide us up, but in Christ, what are we? We're one, aren't we? We're united. Why? Because if I'm white, Christ is my all. If I'm black and Christ is my all. If I speak English and Christ is my all, and I speak another man speaks Japanese, but Christ is his all. It's unity. It's unity. There's none of this stuff. We put on this. Look at verse number 12. We're not through dressing ourselves because Christ is our all. We put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And we're not through. We got some more dressing to do. Get ready. Verse number 14. And above all these things, put on charity. We call it love, don't we? And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. He's still not through. What's he? Verse number 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body. There's that unity. From which also you are called into one body, and be ye thankful. He's not through. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Spend time teaching and admonishing one another. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Why not? You're thankful. You're thankful. We're one. We're united. We're thankful. He's not through. Verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, why would you do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus? Because He's your all. He's your everything. He's your everything. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. What is Christ to you? What is he? I mean, you can't look in my life and necessarily tell, but I can look and tell. I can't look in yours and necessarily tell. But you can. Sometimes the greatest thing we can do for ourselves is self-examination. What is Christ to me? Is he truly my all? If he is my all, I can tell you some things that are going to happen. I'm going to seek him. I am going to seek him. I am going to set my affections on things above, not the things of this earth. And I'm going to slay. I'm going to put to death, mortify some things in my flesh. I want to show you as we finish this up. I want to show you. Look back over into chapter 2. Here's one of those special verses. I mean, not that all of them aren't special, but folks, this is one of those underlining, spend some time laying awake at night thinking about verses. Colossians chapter 2, look at verse number 3. Speaking of Christ, you can catch that context back up in the second verse. Speaking of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, if all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hid in Christ, where are the rest? There aren't any, right? They're all hid in Christ. Folks, there is nothing worth knowing that isn't in Christ. There is nothing worth knowing that isn't in Christ. You can get to know Christ better, folks, and we all need to. We can get to know Christ better, but we can never know anything better than Christ. Would you agree with me? We'll never know anything better than Christ. In him is hid all the treasures of knowledge. There is nothing wiser. There is no wisdom that isn't in Christ. That isn't in Christ. We can say, well, I want to broaden my understanding. I want to broaden my understanding and application. Folks, you may broaden your understanding and your application, but the truth is you're never going to get beyond Christ. It's all in him. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so when I ask you the question, what does Christ mean to you? I pray to God that you say, he's my all. He's not just important to me. He's my all. He doesn't just hold a place in my life. He doesn't just hold a great place in my life. He's my all. He is my everything. In fact, don't we sing that song? He is my everything. I won't sing to you. You don't want that. He is my all, right? He is my everything, both great and small. He is our everything. Our everything. Now notice how he begun chapter 3. If you be risen with Christ. He's just drawing on something he said back there in chapter 2. He's talking to people who are Christians. I'll take you back to chapter 2 and we're through. Verse number 11. Or verse number 10. We're going to start in verse number 10. You ready? Here we go. He says, and you are complete where? You're complete where? In Christ. In Christ. You are complete in him. If you're not in him, what are you? If you're complete in Christ and you're not in Christ, what are you? You're incomplete. You're incomplete. If your answer to my question is, what is Christ to you? Is not he is my all. You're incomplete. You're incomplete. And you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom you're also circumcised. If Christ is your all, you've been circumcised. Now, I'm not talking about physical, and neither is Paul. He'll point that out to us. You're not talking about physical circumcision here. He's talking about supernatural, spiritual circumcision. It's done without hands. He'll say that. I'm not making stuff up. That's the words. That's what the Holy Spirit said. I'm talking to you about circumcision. He said, you've been circumcised. If Christ is everything to you, you've been circumcised. Spiritually. It's a circumcision that's made without hands. It's a cutting off of the body of the sins of the flesh. Isn't that wonderful? That Christ is your all. He's your everything. Why? Because you've had an operation performed upon you where the body of the sins of the flesh have been cut off, removed. That'll make you thankful, won't it? That'll make you thankful. That'll make you, why would I want to seek anything else? I want Christ. Why would I set my affections on anything this world has to offer? I'll set my affections on things above. Why wouldn't I put to death these things of the flesh and put on the new man, which is made new, created in Him? Why wouldn't I? You've been circumcised. You are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. If you're in Christ, if Christ is your everything, you've been buried. You've been buried. Why? Because you died. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God. You've been buried with Him. You've been raised with Him. By faith of the operation of God. Now, folks, if you've been buried with Him and raised with Him through baptism, what if you've never been baptized? Are you complete? Are you in Him? You're not complete. You're not in Him. That's how we get into Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 17. Know ye not that as many of us as have been baptized, where? Into Christ. Have put on Christ. But what if we've not been baptized? We're incomplete. We're not in Christ. We've never been circumcised. We've never had the body of sins of the flesh cut off. We're still in our sins. We've never been buried with Him. That happens in baptism. We've never been raised with Him. By the faith of the operation of God, that happens when we're baptized and raised from baptism. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He made alive, quickened. Now, if you're made alive together with Him, you've never been baptized. What are you? If you're alive by being baptized with Him, what are you if you've never been baptized? You're dead, right? You're dead. He hath quickened you, hath made you alive together with Him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. All your trespasses. And He says this to these people in chapter 2. And then He comes right behind it in chapter 3 and says, if you then be risen with Christ, set your affections, or seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Mortify therefore the members of your members which are upon the earth. Why? Verse number 11, because Christ is all. Because Christ is all. and he's in on. My brothers and sisters in Christ, because that's who he's writing to, is you and I. You and I who have been baptized, who have undergone the operation. What a shame. What a shame if someone should ask us, what's Christ to you? And you have to think about it for a second. And even more shameful is if you, after you thought about it for a second, well, you know, he holds a place in my life. Shameful. Shameful. Or he holds a big place in my life. Shameful. Shameful. He's our all. He's our everything. He's all. If that's not true for you, if you, as my brother or sister in Christ, have allowed the world to take your focus off of him who sitteth at the right hand of God, to remove your affections to where the things of this world have more attraction to you than Jesus who sits at the right hand of God, and the things you should have mortified, put to death, slain, are alive and well in you, you need to repent. You need to come back asking forgiveness, Jesus Christ, who died for you. For those of you here who have never been baptized, you need to understand you're incomplete outside of Christ. You're incomplete. You've never had that circumcision. You've never had that spiritual operation where the sins of your flesh have been removed. You've not been buried with him. You've not been raised with him by the faith of the operation of God. And you need to be this morning so you can unite with us in seeking those things which are above, and setting our affections on things above and not on the things of the earth, and slaying those things, putting them to death. Putting them to death. This morning, if you stand in need of the invitation of Jesus Christ, we encourage and invite you to come to the front as together we stand and sing.